Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Yesterday on the show, we heard about the controversy, the most famous riot in musical history, the one that met Stravinsky's Rite of Spring when it premiered 100 years ago this month. The date was May 29th, 1913. We're gearing up to mark the anniversary of the piece and its impact, and we continue to look at the story now behind the Rite of Spring. On the actual anniversary, May 29th at 7 p.m., the pianist Vicky Chow will join us in the green space for a live performance of the work on solo piano. Joining us right now on the line is Leon Botstein, the music director of the American Symphony Orchestra and president of Bard College. Leon, nice to talk to you again.
Nice to be on the radio again.
So yesterday, Leonard Slatkin, the conductor, told us that he thought it was really the dance and the dancers that provoked the riot, that famous riot, rather than the music. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's largely right. The fact is that the music had a clearly divided reaction. There were certainly people who thought it was the sonorities were so harsh and the relentless nature of it. The quick transitions, what makes the Rite of Spring so striking is that it's not symphonically written. It's not like a theme that goes and develops and there's a lot of repetition. There are these abrupt shifts. And so it is, it certainly took people aback, but there are also people who recognized it immediately as a work of genius. And its success as a piece of music was very quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really the sort of dancing and perhaps the costumes a bit. So I think the scandal was less musical than it was theatrical.
Yeah. Now, Diaghilev, the impresario behind the Ballet Russe, which produced Rite of Spring, would have been delighted with the scandal. What about Stravinsky? Where was he in his career? He's still a relatively young composer at that time, right?
It's hard to know because he said different things about it at different times in his career. His reaction in the West was eventually, of course, very positive because it made his name. He became a notorious and celebrity overnight. And despite his sayings to the contrary, it's hard to complain.
We're speaking with Leon Botstein, the music director of the American Symphony Orchestra and president of Bard College, which this summer will present Bard Music Festival's Stravinsky and His World, July 6th through August 18th. Most of the concerts are in August. And what was Stravinsky? What were Stravinsky and Diaghilev and Nijinsky? What were all these Russians doing in Paris?
Well, interestingly, so there was the world of art movement that Diaghilev was involved in, which broke with a kind of realist nationalist tradition in the 19th century. But the reaction of the Russian audiences, given the autocracy and the general conditions, was less favorable. But the real opportunity was the exoticism of this kind of self-conscious Russianism. The Parisians, like all imperialist nations, love to digest in a kind of pretentious way the exotic colors of nations on whom they looked actually down upon. So it was a kind of strange fashionability. The Japanese, the Russian, the things east.
The exotic east, yeah.
Absolutely. And so Diaghilev exploited this shamelessly. and Stravinsky was part of it. Stravinsky was a very nasty man, cheap, disloyal, anti-Semitic, and an unpleasant character. He was looking for the next great thing after the great success of Petrushka. And to his credit, The Rite of Spring is a work of, you know, incomparable genius.
It's not just that. It's also, I mean, Petrushka is you know, a recognizable work of Stravinsky's early period. I mean, you see it growing out of Firebird. You know, you kind of recognize the Russian roots and what he's doing. The Rite of Spring is a quantum leap.
It's a quantum leap in the use, you're absolutely right. It's a quantum leap in the use of time and doesn't rely on kind of sequential memory. It doesn't have a recapitulation. It doesn't bring stuff back where the beginning. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
It's a different attitude to the way one makes music. It forces you to confront the moment of time as it's happening. It's tremendously immediate.
And the story of, you know, this kind of pagan ritual and the young girl who eventually dances herself to death to, you know, to propitiate the deities, you know, that would have played into that whole exotic Eastern thing you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, and shocking of sexual mores. You know, the pagan ritual and all of this and the elders and sacrifice and, you know, harking back to a pre-Christian old Russia. This to modern audiences, this is less, you know, we're you know, steeled against this kind of shock.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that the power of the music, the eloquence of the music, still stays with us. And the piano version, which you're using, is actually proof of how good a piece. Because many pieces that are so colorful, as The Rite of Spring is, and so dependent on the orchestra and its sounds, don't translate well to the piano, but The Rite of Spring does.
We are certainly looking forward to hearing Vicky Chow's performance, her solo piano performance of The Rite of Spring on the actual 100th anniversary of the piece. May 29th, 7 p.m. in the Green Space. For tickets, go to wnyc.org/thegreenspace. And Leon Botstein's Bard Music Festival this year, focusing, not surprisingly, on Stravinsky and his world in July and August up at
Bard.
And
we're doing The Rite of Spring, as well as another piece by Steinberg written for Diaghilev in the same year.
Great. Well, Leon Botstein, the music director of the American Symphony Orchestra and president of Bard College, always great to speak with you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.